welcome to the listeners of this podcast, which is about the last, we hope, and the third round of elections in 12 months in Israel, done by the INSS, the Institute for National Security Studies. I am Oded Eran, a senior researcher at the Institute. And with me is Dr. Yehuda Ben-Meir, a former deputy foreign minister and himself a member of several Knessets in the past. And we would like to discuss the results as they are known at this point, less than 24 hours after the closing of the ballots yesterday. Yehuda, how do you interpret the results as they are known at this moment?
Okay, in this election, I think it's very important to wait for the final official results, because a change even in one mandate, one member of Knesset, can make a change in terms of the meaning, of the significance of the results. At the moment now, the results is that Mr. Netanyahu's bloc has 59 members, and Mr. Gantz's bloc has 54 members, and Mr. Lieberman, who is the deciding factor, has 7 members. No one at the moment has 61 members, which of course is the minimum majority that you need. Interesting thing just to mention in the results, first of all, the Likud certainly as a success relative to the expectations. The Likud increased its own membership, and before they were equal, and even Kahol Levan maybe was one member more, and now evidently the Likud will have 3 or 4 members more than Kahol Levan. They will have a larger bloc, contrary to what we had in September. But again, this is not enough. In order to have a decision, the Likud needs to have 61 members of Knesset who will vote for them. They may have it by the time we get the final results 24 hours from now, when the last ballot will be counted. And in this election, you can really say that each vote counts. Just two observations to make before we go on. Two interesting factors here involved. Number one, the rise in the success of the Arab list. The Arab list, which last time in April had 10 members of Knesset, they went up to 13, and now they have 15 members of Knesset. This is unprecedented in Israel. And I think this has very important significance for the future, because the Arab population, which previously did not come out in full force to vote in the elections, it seems that this time they almost came out in full force. And if they would come out in the next elections, whenever it'll be, in full force, in the same vote participation in the Jewish community in Israel, they can reach 17, 18 mandates, which means that this is a factor that'll be very hard to ignore in the future. And number two, all the small parties, both on the left and the right, specifically the Labor Party and Meretz, which once formed the government, completely went down. They have 7 mandates. The Religious Zionist Party, when I was a member, we had 12 mandates. They now went down to 6, even one less than they had before. And what we're seeing is more and more tendency to vote for the two large parties, which may herald in the future getting closer to a 2 or 3 party system. By the way, this Knesset will have as only 8 parties, the lowest in the history of Israel.
Yeah.
So these are some on the side in terms of the what is going to be now in terms of forming a government depends really on the final vote and what possibilities.
Speaking about various coalitions, obviously, if the bloc on the right wins among them 61 seats in the Knesset, this is a relatively a simple situation. However, if they don't get to even 60, somewhere 58, 59 seats in the Knesset, can they form a minority government on the assumption that, for example, Lieberman, on certain issues, will not necessarily try to vote them down or out of office? And therefore, it's not an impossible situation. A minority government, which lasts as long as it lasts, and possibly some deals in the future between either Likud and Lieberman, Likud and possible deserters from Kahol Lavan, who have right-wing leanings, and they may say, well, we don't like their life in opposition, and we may join, for whatever price, the minority government, make it a majority government.
The possibility of Likud to form a minority government is a possibility, depends on Lieberman. And this, by the way, may be something that Lieberman would do, because Lieberman, after the initial results were in yesterday, and this morning again, basically said two things which are contradictory. On the one hand, he said, I promise there will not be a fourth election, and there won't be a fourth election. I will not serve in a government headed by Netanyahu in which the ultra-Orthodox parties are a key member. This is the thing he went on elections twice already on this issue. So one possibility would be that Lieberman could say, okay, if you want to put together a minority government. By the way, minority government is something which in many democracies all over Europe is common. Before the last elections in Great Britain, there was a minority government.
In a way, in the United States, we have a minority government.
Well, in the United States, it's a presidential system, so it's something different.
Right.
But we had in Germany a minority government, we had in Spain a minority government, we had in Greece a minority government, Denmark, Sweden. So this is something possible to say, okay, I'm not going to join your right-wing government, but you have 59 seats, put it on, 59. 54 will vote against you, and I won't vote. I'll abstain. And in the meantime, you can form the government, a possibility. And again, this government, of course, is a government that any day Lieberman wants to pull it down, he can pull it down. It's a possibility. And the other possibility, which is more remote, but could possibly be, if Lieberman would say, I'm not willing to go under any circumstances support such a government, the only other possibility to create 61, without 61, you know, or to prevent 61 from voting against. At the moment, the opposition has 61. They can't form a government because Lieberman won't go with the Arab Party, etc. Would be a possibility that to form some type of
National unity.
National unity government with Kahol Lavan,
yeah.
Which would mean that Kahol Lavan would have to agree to sit in a government with Netanyahu, even though he faces trial, which will start 2 weeks from yesterday. And probably would make certain conditions and possibilities in terms of the future. These are the two options. If Netanyahu ends up with 59.
I want to skip the judicial legal issues, although they are very important and they may be a factor in the president's decision. Who does he call to try and form a coalition, and speak about the international aspects of a new government in Israel. We have a situation which is a recent development just before we went to the ballots, that President Trump came out with a comprehensive vision, as he calls it, for the solution of the Arab, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And this is, of course, very attractive if you belong to the right-wing parties in Israel. It speaks about 70-30% division of the West Bank, 70 to the Palestinians, 30 to the Israelis, with some less than one-on-one basis compensation. Jerusalem, as it is, remains the capital of Israel, including the situation in the Temple Mount. No return of any Palestinian refugee to Israel itself. And so if there is a right-wing 61 or more seats in the Knesset, that means that there will be pressure inside this government to implement right now, right away, the parts that, or the, for example, annexation of the Jordan Valley, which under the Trump vision remains under Israel, Israel's sovereignty. What it means, it gets Israel into confrontation, not with their current administration, but a possible Democrat administration in the U.S. after November, and certainly with the rest of the international community.
Right. That's following. If Mr. Netanyahu has 61 members, which we'll know by tomorrow, at the moment he doesn't have it, and he puts together a right-wing government based on 61 members, in which each single member of the Knesset can drop the government, can make the government fall, he will be under heavy pressure to do it. Nevertheless, you know, Netanyahu, after he's elected, talks differently than before he was elected. It's not the first time. I noticed an interesting difference yet last evening, or sometimes during the election day. Before that, Mr. Netanyahu spoke in a number of places and said, "We've established a committee with the American government. The American government demanded a committee to decide exactly how the map should look and map it out, not on a general map, but up to the last meter on the ground, etc. And in a few weeks, we'll finish this and that." Yesterday, I don't know, it was a slip of tongue, or maybe he had it in mind. Clearly, he said, within a few months, we'll be able to finish this process. So the process of mapping out a map can take a few weeks. I doubt if it can take a few weeks, take a few months, and if you want to drag it on, it could take a year or two, at least until November.
Right.
And it could be that Netanyahu will want to wait until November, because if he does annex certain territories according to the Trump plan, as far as then evidently this will be with American approval,
right,
but he knows that in November there's elections and he could face a Democratic president who would then would put a lot of pressure in Israel, would be against this, et cetera, and that. So he could try to drag it on. If Trump would be reelected in November, he can't drag it on anymore, and under 61, he'd have to do it. But so these are two things that are depending on. One, what type of government will he have in the end? And what will happen in November, which I'm sure is very, very strongly on Mr. Netanyahu's mind in any case.
Is there related to this question, what about our relations with at least two Arab countries with which we have peace treaties, Jordan and Egypt? This potential annexation of certain parts of Judea and Samaria, West Bank, they may cause serious trouble in our bilateral relations with these countries. How can we skip this, damage to the...
I don't think the damage can be skipped, but I'd say this is a key issue, which I'm sure also after the election will be on Mr. Netanyahu's mind. Before the election, on his mind was to try to not lose the election, put it that way.
Right.
I think there's a difference in Egypt and Jordan. I don't know if an annexation would break the peace treaty with Egypt. Egypt probably would react, call its ambassador back home. They've done this before. Egypt has a vested interest in the defense cooperation with Israel, security cooperation with Israel. President Sisi is a strong control in Egypt. So it would be a problem, but maybe as far as Jordan is concerned, you as our ex-ambassador to Jordan would know better than me, but I would believe that with Jordan, this could be a very serious problem, which could even lead to abdication of the peace treaty with Jordan, because King Abdullah would be under heavy pressure. More than half of his population are Palestinians, and this can also cause serious security problems within the West Bank in Israel. Certainly as far as Jordan is concerned, this is a key issue. It should cause very damage, and again, which Mr. Netanyahu will have to weigh it together with the other considerations.
Coming back to the results, I think that, as it seems now, that every party among the eight parties really doesn't want to go to another fourth round of elections. So to what extent this is a factor, the abhorrence of another round informing the coalition and putting pressures on everyone to make a concession in order to create a national unity government?
I think it's a crucial factor. Just to give you one example, almost everyone stands to lose in the next elections. Mr. Netanyahu certainly stands to lose because this time he came out. Who knows if he can repeat it again? If there's another election, then the Likud's list will have to be open. And there have to be new primaries in the Likud. So every member of the Likud knows he has to go through a new Via de la Rosa. Kahol Lavan doesn't want new elections because they don't know they didn't do that well. This election's what it'll be next time. Maybe they could do better, maybe they can do worse. Mr. Lieberman certainly doesn't know what his situation will be. The only ones who perhaps, and even the small Yamina party, the National Religious Party, which has six, tomorrow it can vanish. The only ones who are not afraid much, I would say, is the ultra-Orthodox. They have their electorate, and they're almost... And the Arab List is the only one who stands to gain, perhaps. Right. So there is a serious pressure on everyone, and there's a public pressure. Although, interestingly enough, according to the polls, most of the people, or certainly a majority, blame Mr. Netanyahu for the third election, and it evidently didn't cause him damage. So people vote...
This blame he is willing to take.
Yeah. So I think that this is a key factor. I think it's you know, in politics, never say never, but it's hard to conceive of it. It never, by the way, in many countries, there were three elections in the same year. I saw yesterday a list. In no country, at least that the list mentioned that they investigated it, was there four elections in one year. Evidently, as I said, there's a limit to everything that the people are willing to take.
Thank you very much. This brings us to the end of this podcast.
Thank you. Thank our listeners.